This Monday, government leaders from around the world will be at the Cancun Climate Conference. At stake is the climate of our planet. Also at the conference will be members of Greenpeace Canada, among hundreds of environmentalists from around the world. Virginie Lambert-Ferry and Melina Laboucan-Massimo will both be at the conference. Virginie will be inside the conference observing government negotiators and keeping a watch on the Harper government and their positions. Melina will be heading down together with the Indigenous Environmental Network, meeting with Indigenous peoples and climate activists at what is expected to be a gathering of thousands of demonstrators in Cancun. Welcome, Virginie and Melina. Virginie, you will be at the conference in Cancun. You will be on the inside. You will be with government leaders. Tell us about this process and what you expect from it.
Well, governments from all around the world are going to be meeting in Cancun to discuss a climate agreement. And so they're going to be talking about reducing greenhouse gas emissions, tackling deforestation, finding some money for developing countries so that they can adapt to climate change. So they're going to be meeting there with some delegations. Each country has its delegations. And so they're going to be discussing that like during 2 weeks, and they should be finding a way to have an agreement at the end of the 2 weeks. What are we expecting from these negotiations today? We're expecting some progress, some substantial progress on some block of negotiations. And especially we would like to see some progress made so that we can deliver next year a legally binding agreement so that everything next year is done and we can actually implement a climate deal which would be ambitious, fair, and legally binding.
What is a fair and legally binding agreement? What does that look like?
It means that first, developed countries would be the first one to sort of reduce greenhouse gas emissions because historically they are the ones who will release greenhouse gas emissions in the atmosphere. This means it's fair, you know. So the first step should be coming from developed countries. Ambitious, it means we should be like reducing drastically greenhouse gas emissions, especially in the developed world. But that developing countries will also have to do their fair share, especially China and India, as they are very big emitters. And legally binding, well, if there's no legally binding agreement, it means like nobody has to actually deliver the things, and there's no commitment where like there's no mechanisms to actually implement this agreement. So this is a very important piece of it. Like there should be a mechanisms that where in which like countries have actually incentive to deliver the work, and if they don't do it, so they would have financial problems because they would have some fines.
The Canadian government recently just canceled its climate bill. What is the Canadian government going to negotiate if they have no binding agreements even at home?
Well, until now, you've said it. The Canadian government, under the Conservative, has not been doing anything to tackle climate change and to take real action to tackle climate change. They multiplied attempts and to block the negotiations. So we're not expecting much from the Canadian government because we've never seen any progress. Still, we're asking them some steps. And we're especially asking them to move on and reduce greenhouse gas emissions and come with new mitigation measures and to also secure some money for the developing countries so that they can really adapt and fight climate change.
Okay, Melina, you are from Alberta and you're from a community that's directly affected by the tar sands. Can you tell us about that and also tell us about what you expect on the outside in Cancun?
So I come from Alberta, in the northern part of Alberta. And so there's a variety of different communities that are Indigenous as well as settler communities that are affected by tar sands development, meaning that there's a lot of environmental degradation happening in air pollution, contamination of water sources, as well as fragmentation of the boreal forest, which contributes to climate change through deforestation as well as through the tar sands being one of the biggest growing sources of emissions for greenhouse gas emissions in Canada. And the fact that the Canadian government does not want to reduce this source of greenhouse gas emissions just shows where their true ambitions lie, that they do not actually want to address climate change and they do not want to be responsible in the fact that they're emitting these greenhouse gas emissions and offloading these problems onto other countries that are feeling the effects already of climate change. So these issues are, you know, inherently linked between the source and the problem here in Canada down south to the global south that are feeling already the impacts of climate change through a variety of different peoples in the global south. And so what I will be doing there is mobilizing with thousands of other peoples in Cancun, where people are going to converge, whether that be through campesino movements, indigenous peoples movements, climate activists, social justice, environmental justice organizations, will be coming together to demand that companies as well as governments around the world reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. And whether this be through the UN process and whether it be through other forms of social change, but basically we'll be demanding that through the UN process we need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Cancun.
What would a failure in Cancun at the negotiations to come up with a binding agreement, what would it mean to the climate of this planet?
Well, a failure would be that if countries, especially Canada, the US, for example, are waiting for the others to move on without doing their fair share. Canada has been saying all the time we're going to be doing exactly the same as the US. And the US has been saying for months that they won't do anything if China is not doing anything. So we really need a failure would be if we haven't been able to sort of put trust back into the negotiations and actually deliver some substantial progress on some block of negotiations. An important one is actually the climate fund, for example. Climate fund is how much money developed countries are going to be giving to developing countries so that they can adapt and fight climate change. This is a big issue. We already have on the table a proposal of $100 billion US dollars fund. It needs to be improved, and all this money, we need to know where it comes from. It should come from public sources. It should be delivered through several technical way, and so we're going to be like really taking a big care of that.
So the climate fund is to mitigate the changes of the of climate change on southern countries, because they're going to be affected by it. There's going to be major disasters, mostly for southern countries, coastal countries, island countries. But tell me about the commonalities and the divide between northern and southern countries in Cancun.
Well, first thing is developing countries are not supposed to be the one, we've said it before, like they're not historically responsible for that. Does it mean that they should not be taking action? We don't think so. But developed countries are the first responsible, should be taking their fair share first and sort of like really come to Cancun with a lot of things. Within the developing countries, there is a lot of division as well. You know, like there's a big difference between a huge and big emitter like China and India, for example, and a tiny country like the Maldives, for example. What do they have in common is that in these countries, in the developing world, in the south, in the global south, you can find the people who are the most vulnerable people to climate change. And it doesn't mean that we don't have victims in the north. We have victims, and we have victims in Canada of climate change, and we should be having that very clearly in mind, because climate change is impacting Canada. But primarily, those most vulnerable people, the poorest people are in the world, are the ones who are already affected by climate change and who are going to be more affected. So this is the big division, and this is where you can find some commonalities within the South and differentiation with the North.
And I think it's also important to note, too, that every year 300,000 people already die from climate change, and a million more people are made climate refugees already to this day. Every year that passes, this happens, and it increases. So I think it's important to note that even though, say, for instance, people here in Canada don't necessarily, you know, see the immediate impacts of climate change, whereas other people in the South do see immediate impacts now, that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist, because it does indeed exist. And we do see it also here in the North with the melting ice and the rising sea levels, as well as droughts and different, you know, erratic weather behavior changes. So we see these already, but they're not as dramatic as they are in other parts of the world.
So finally, what does Greenpeace have planned to bring about change in Canada when it comes to global warming and climate change?
Well, first and foremost, I think we need to recognize that Canadians and a lot of people throughout the world are dependent on oil, and we need to reduce our dependency on oil through a variety of different ways, whether that be from investing in renewable energy sources, from reducing our dependency on fossil fuel-based economies, reducing our dependency on cars even. I mean, the transportation issue is a major issue here in Canada, where we don't see an investment in shared transportations through whether it be transit services or rapid light and rail systems, and also weather efficiency, you know, weatherizations of houses, where we are reducing, where we could be reducing our need and our usage of energy. And so we see a lack of will and a lack of political will on part of politicians here in Canada to not reduce and not to create this change and shift away from the fossil fuel-based paradigm in which this country exists and a lot of other countries. But we do see that shift happening in other countries, you know, and we're going to be ended up being behind the curve in the future where, you know, countries like, say, Germany or countries, even Spain, are producing and already have a solar-based, running up-and-coming economy where they're already producing jobs for their citizens, already producing incentives as well as basically revenue, you know, from these economies. And yet we see little to no investment, especially in places like Alberta, in solar energy, where it's one of the sunniest provinces in the country, and yet we do not see this shift away from fossil fuel-based economies to a renewable energy economy, which needs to be the answer for the future.
Yeah, exactly on what Melina just said. It's, for example, the first awful consequences of the oil dependency is of the world is the Gulf spill, which happened in Mexico a few months ago. And the work of Greenpeace within the world is actually to make sure that this shift from a fossil fuels and worldwide economy based, a shift is happening and would actually that we would do the energy revolution and we would go into renewable and clean energy and energy efficiency. This is extremely important, and everywhere in the world, Greenpeace is trying to shift this paradigm, to promote the energy revolution and to tackle climate change and to promote the solutions and how we can actually achieve reducing greenhouse gas emissions and create thousands and millions of jobs around the world in clean energies. So we need green jobs, and Greenpeace is actually putting forward some solutions to tackle climate change and all these environmental disasters like the tar sands and all of the oil dependency around the world.
Virginie Lambert-Ferry and Melina Laboucan-Massimo from Greenpeace, thank you very much for joining us on our show here on Wednesday Word of Mouth, CKLN 88.1 FM.